This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:48 a.m. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. We have the opening bell in about 15 minutes. We'll also dive into the latest updates on palm oil prices. But in the meantime, let's turn our attention to the upcoming Kuala Kubu Baru by-election. So we have around 40,000 voters that are eligible to go to the polls on the 11th of May for the Kuala Kubu by-election. And this has been the nomination date for candidates has been set on April 27th. By the Election Commission.
Now, this seat fell vacant following the death of DAP Adun Lee Kee Hiong, as a seat she has held since 2013. In the last election, Lee defeated Brigadier National Gerakan with a 4,000 vote majority. BN has confirmed it will not place a candidate and pave the way for Pakatan Harapan to contest the seat.
So, really, what is the strategy of the political coalitions going into this by-election? And will the outcome be a reflection of sentiment on the unity government?
For some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Dr. Oh Isan, Principal Advisor at the Pacific Research Center. Isan, good morning. Always good to have you. Can we start off with getting a sense of the makeup of the Kuala Kubu Baru electorate? And what do you think voters will be thinking about as they head to the polls this time?
Well, I think conventionally we had the impression that it's a Chinese majority seat. But of course, I think after the latest reconfiguration with all these new voters, 18-year-old voters added in and so on, I think now it's around 40-something percent Malay voters, less than 40% of Chinese voters. And if memory serves me right, more than 10%, around 15% of Indian voters. So it's what we call a mixed seat nowadays, yeah.
So nominations will happen by end of this month. What kind of strategy do you expect the different political parties to adopt, both in terms of candidate choice and strategy?
Well, assuming it's DAP coming out on behalf of PH, it should have... Well, I think the DAP logo is quite powerful. If people were to vote for DAP, they vote more for the logo than for the candidate. Therefore, it's okay if DAP serves out either a Chinese, Malay, or Indian candidate. The important thing is, of course, both its other coalition partners, including those from PH as well as those from BN, would need to redouble their efforts to canvass for votes on behalf of DAP. If that could be done, I think they could still squeeze through. On the other hand, it's PN, and most likely it will be Gerakan, which will be sending out its candidate. Of course, there are various suggestions, such as sending out an Indian candidate, for example, in order to round up the 15% of Indian votes, and then PAS will assist Gerakan in rounding up the Malay votes and so on. And therefore, Gerakan, in theory, could also squeeze through. So I think it's a very heated contest with the majority being a very slim one. Yeah.
Isan, can we get a sense of what are the issues on the ground that Kuala Kubu Baru voters will be thinking about as they head to the ballot box? Because I'm sure that in some way informs the strategy that each of the coalition parties are going to adopt.
Well, KKB, it's a very unique constituency in the sense that it's, shall we say, semi-rural and semi-urban at the same time. It's at the really extreme outskirts of Klang Valley, and therefore it would have that kind a bit of that kind of shall we say the kind of sentiments that are prevalent in the country, namely we should have more reform, we should have more progressive mindset and so on. But on the other hand, it is also semi-rural, so developmental issues, infrastructural issues such as more road access, more development funding and so on will be equally important. That is why both sides, namely both the unity government side as well as PN side, they would have to balance these two sets of issues. Yeah.
Ethan, how much of this election result will be a reflection on the sentiment of the unity government? It is, after all, a state assembly seat. It's not going to have any impact on the makeup of federal government. And as far as we know, the Selangor State Assembly is still very much firmly in the Pakatan Harapan camp. So how significant is this result going to be?
Well, it is perhaps mainly for the reasons I spelled out just now, that it's a semi-rural and semi-urban seat, and that it could be equally influenced by, on the one hand, that kind of progressive and reformist sentiments, and on the other hand, that sort of creeping, shall we say, green wave influence. It could be affected by both. And therefore, I think some would take it, they would take the results as a barometer for voter satisfaction of the government, yeah.
But what's your sense on the ground in terms of this green wave? Is it still very strong? Because we saw that evident last year, but you know, we haven't had any real clear elections since then to see whether or not that wave has solidified. In view of the recent issues that have taken place in the country and also globally, right, do you think that the Malay vote is more decisive, more split?
No, I think the Malay votes are likely to be more consolidated and in favour of the green wave, and especially in view of recent international developments, right? I mean, the attacks in Israel and Palestine, as well as the conflicts between Israel and Iran, to name but a few. All these global trends would have some bearings on the thinking of, shall we say, co-religionists Malaysia. On the other hand, of course, there are also, shall we say, racially sentiments been played up in recent days. And therefore, it would have a bearing on this result here.
Ethan, I'm hearing, or at least I'm seeing a lot of reports saying that when it comes to KKB, the kingmakers in terms of deciding the outcome will be the Indians who, like you say, they have about 15 to 20% of the vote. What do you think, or at least you see also saying that their choice this time might be different. Is that going to be the case?
Well, at least that's what our friend Professor Ramasamy has been hyping up almost on a daily basis in recent days, if not weeks. I think there are still a lot of developmental needs as far as the Indian community is concerned. I would say socio-economic needs, and especially in the marginal constituency like KKB, where they will be those who are resettling from, shall we say, a more estate type of lifestyle to a more urban type of lifestyle. And they need some sort of transitional assistance as they take this socio-economic transition. And sometimes, well, not sometimes, almost always, this is not forthcoming, regardless of who is in charge, either as a federal or as a state government. I think that's why there's a lot of unsatisfaction among the Indian community, yeah.
Ethan, state by-elections typically see lower turnout. I'm wondering who is going to benefit from that. Will it automatically benefit Perikatan Nasional for lower turnout to come to play in KKB?
It would likely benefit Perikatan Nasional more because, well, those who don't come out to vote typically, to put it bluntly, are Chinese voters. And Perikatan, assuming past is very assiduous in assisting Gerakan, would be able to mobilize its primarily Malay supporters. UMNO, in tradition, would have that kind of ground machinery, but to what extent it could still mobilize such vote canvassing machinery, I think that remains to be seen, yeah.
Can we just talk a bit about the PH side in terms of them selecting the candidate? You know, we saw so much news about, you know, different parts participating, not participating. Are we getting a sense that there's some frays in the coalition of the unity government?
Well, this unity government has held up much better than I thought. And especially when you have UMNO and let's say PKR or DAP, which traditionally have been quarreling with one another, you would notice that at least a very senior leadership, they are actually working hand in hand. Of course, there are skirmishes lower down, but the overall, I think, cooperative framework is still intact. And of course, when it comes to this sort of by-election, every component party in the coalition, be it in the ruling one or in the opposition one, of course, they would like to try their luck, right? Saying, they would have a higher winnability and so on. So that's why you are hearing some of this chaotic sounding, I would say, yeah.
So, Isan, very quickly, who's going to win?
I think it will still be DAP, but the winning margin may not be as impressive as before, yeah.
All right, Isan, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Dr. Oh Isan, Principal Advisor at the Pacific Research Center, casting an early prediction on what's going to happen at the Kuala Kubabaru by-elections next month. He says that the incumbent party will likely win, but the margins could be a lot smaller than what was previously won.
Yeah, so let's watch this space. Less than a month to go, I'm sure there'll be news that we'll have to cover.
All right, it's 8:59 in the morning. We're going to be heading into the 9 a.m. news bulletin, but don't go away because after that, we will check out the opening bell to see how the FBM KLCI is trending this Wednesday morning. We will also get global market insights with Jack Kuzi, Director of Strategy for VFS Group. Definitely going to be asking his thoughts on what's happening over in China with news of their GDP. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.